yes to inclusion, yes to generosity, yes to love, yes to equal marriage.
You know, this pandemic has just put everybody into a modality that is so isolated, and we're all trapped in our homes. And so I just told my team, I said, I want to be in a parade. Ba-ba-ba-loom-ba-ba-bam-boom.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Reports reveal European queer rights decay, Irish marriage equality still smiles on its fifth anniversary, and Pride goes virtual to overcome COVID-19 lockdowns. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm Carol Myers.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news interaffecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending May 16th, 2020. Two new reports paint an alarming picture of stalled and deteriorating rights for LGBTQ people in Europe. The European Union Fundamental Rights Agency's online survey had close to 140,000 LGBTQ respondents from 27 European Union member states, along with the United Kingdom, North Macedonia, and Serbia. This week's report was a larger follow-up to a survey conducted in 2012. On the positive side, respondents who said they were out jumped from 36% in 2012 to almost half. But 43% reported overt discrimination against them in the past year. Close to the same percentage said they'd been physically harassed, a 6% increase. 6 in 10 lesbians and gay men said that they feared verbal or physical attack if they held their same-gender partner's hand in public. 2 in 3 Polish LGBTQ people and over half of French respondents said that life for them has gotten worse in the past year. Reduced intolerance was reported by more than 70% in Ireland, which has enjoyed marriage equality since 2015. The same goes for Malta, Europe's first country to ban so-called conversion therapy. Fundamental Rights Agency Director Michael O'Flaherty noted in the report's introduction that the results were even more troubling in the age of COVID-19. In his words, too many LGBTI people continue to live in the shadows, afraid of being ridiculed, discriminated, or even attacked. Their job and healthcare difficulties may worsen due to COVID-19. O'Flaherty urged policymakers to be more active in promoting full respect for LGBTQ rights.
A second survey about life for LGBTQ people in Europe was also released this week. The annual Rainbow Map, issued by the European branch of the global queer advocacy group ILGA, ranks 49 countries according to how easy or difficult it is to be queer. Azerbaijan is at the bottom of the list. Turkey, Armenia, Russia, and Poland rank almost as badly. Malta tops the list for the fifth consecutive year. Belgium, Luxembourg, Denmark, Norway, and Spain also made the top 10. But the report found that there has been no positive change for LGBTQ people in the past year in almost half of the countries surveyed. The Rainbow Map report also confirmed that rights in Europe for transgender people in particular were the most volatile. The biggest shifts are taking place in that population, for better or worse, as it said. The report praises Andorra, Belgium, the Netherlands, North Macedonia, and Switzerland for advancing trans rights, but it laments that gender recognition progress has stalled in Albania, Cyprus, Finland, and Sweden. ILGA Europe Executive Director Eveline Paradis said that this year's rainbow map shows that equality measures are falling through the cracks in several countries, not because of lack of political and public support, but because of widespread complacency about the need for LGBTI equality measures. There are reasons to be extremely worried that this situation will spread as political attention is immersed in the economic fallout of COVID-19.
South Korea is one of the few countries on Earth to have responded effectively to the COVID-19 pandemic with early and widespread testing and contact tracing. But a resurgence of COVID-19 infections has been traced to Seoul nightclubs popular with the queer community, and that sparked a surge of homophobia in the country. 35 new COVID-19 cases were reported on May 11th, the largest single-day increase in South Korea since April 9th. Some 4,000 people who patronize clubs in the area have been tested, and authorities are still trying to contact 3,000 more, according to the South China Morning Post. The effort is complicated because homosexuality is still generally a taboo subject in South Korea. Gay men are reporting being harassed on dating apps. Some say they've been threatened with being doxxed out of the closet. Several online, broadcast, and print journalists have added homophobic commentary to their outbreak reports. A poster on one news portal wrote, "Don't call them a sexual minority community, they're merely perverts." 17 LGBTQ rights groups have banded together as Queer Action Against COVID-19 to fight the escalating stigma. Activist Sung Ok So told the Washington Blade that the task force is tracking any human rights violations, directly cooperating with Seoul City and the government.
A ruling by Brazil's Supreme Federal Court has lifted the country's ban on blood donations by men who have sex with men. Previously, those donors have had to have been celibate for 12 months to qualify. The court voted 7-4 to lift the restriction entirely. Justice Edson Fachin wrote that the 12-month rule was based on prejudice and discrimination. The case was accepted by the High Court in 2016, but it took the judges 4 years to issue their May 8th ruling. Brazil has the highest number of COVID-19 cases in Latin America. President Jair Bolsonaro has added consistently downplaying the pandemic to his super macho, misogynistic, racist, homophobic persona. Like his model, the Donald Trump of the tropics mocks measures designed to curb its spread. Chile, Hungary, and Italy are among the countries that also allow sexually active gay and bisexual men to donate blood without a deferral period. Australia, Denmark, Northern Ireland, and the U.S. have reduced their celibacy periods to 3 months, which equality activists point out is still scientifically and medically unnecessary.
The Uganda 19 have finally been allowed to meet with lawyers. The 13 gay men, 2 bisexual men, and 4 transgender women have been in jail since the March 29th raid on a homeless shelter for LGBTQ youth. They're each charged with violating COVID-19 lockdown rules banning gatherings of more than 10 people. However, activists charged that only queer gathering places are being targeted for that violation. Uganda is one of the most notoriously anti-queer countries on the continent, if not the world. The televised raid dramatically outed many of the arrestees, and the local mayor was shown caning one of them. It's not known if any of the defendants have actually tested positive for coronavirus. Judge Michael Elubu finally ruled on May 13th that the defendants have the right to legal counsel in order to prepare a defense before trial. It was scheduled to begin 5 days later. Human Rights Watch is among several advocacy groups urging the Uganda 19's release. Africa Director Mousie Segun said in a statement that it is not a crime to be homeless and live in a shelter, and the ongoing detention of the shelter residents is arbitrary, abusive, and contrary to public health.
The queer community is mourning a number of prominent deaths this past week. Among them was Amy Stevens, the transgender plaintiff in one of the U.S. Supreme Court's LGBTQ right-to-work cases. Oral arguments on whether or not workplace discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity is legal were heard last October. A decision is expected sometime in June. Stevens had kidney disease for a number of years and required regular dialysis. She was just 59 years old. NBC News reported that Stevens' estate should automatically become the plaintiff in the still-pending Supreme Court case.
Siegfried and Roy's Animal and Magic Act thrilled Las Vegas audiences for years. A gay relationship between the two is always assumed, though rarely, if ever, discussed. After famously surviving an attack by one of his own tigers in 2003, Roy Horn became yet another casualty of the COVID-19 pandemic on May 8th. He was 75. Siegfried Fischbacher said in a statement that, "I have lost my best friend."
Finally, another flamboyant performer who described himself as the king and queen of rock and roll has also ascended to his heavenly throne. Little Richard Penniman died May 8th at the age of 87 of bone cancer. Little Richard rewrote the original risque lyrics to a song about gay sex to create his first big hit, Tutti Frutti, in 1955. Little Richard had a problematic history with his queer identity. He had a reportedly lustful gay youth and embraced his feminine side on stage. Later in life, he rejected same-gender love and for a while preached against it as an evangelical Christian minister. He married a woman and adopted a son. Then, in 2012, he told GQ, "We are all both male and female. Sex to me is like a smorgasbord. Whatever I feel like, I go for."
That's NewsWrap, Global Queer News with Attitude, for the week ending May 16th, 2020. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is usually recorded in the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, but we're recording remotely during the COVID-19 emergency. The news is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to NewsWrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out Radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm Carol Myers. Stay healthy.
And I'm Wenzel Jones. Stay safe.
This just in on May 18th, all charges against the Uganda 19 have been dropped and all the detainees have been released. This according to a Twitter announcement from the Human Rights Awareness and Promotion Forum, the group that finally won legal counsel for the homeless LGBTQ youth. We'll have more on this breaking story next time on This Way Out.
Oops.
Welcome to Trump This Week, what the President of the United States actually said,
taken out of context,
about the COVID-19 pandemic during the past week.
We have more cases than anybody in the world. But why? Because we do more testing. When you test, you find something is wrong with people. If we didn't do any testing, we would have very few cases.
I understand you very well, better than you understand yourself.
We're going into transition, and I call it transition to greatness, because we're going to do something very fast, and we're going to have a phenomenal year next year.
We have met the moment, and we have prevailed.
It has been an absolute chaotic disaster.
We're going to have a phenomenal year next year.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, I hope that it's all coming true. Yes, I do.
Happy anniversary, Ireland. 5 years ago this week, the country said yes to marriage equality in a way that no other country had or has since then. This Way Out correspondent Scott de Butler reported from Dublin.
When Irish hearts are happy, all the world seems bright and gay. And when Irish eyes are smiling, sure they steal your heart away.
With today's vote, we have disclosed who we are. A generous, compassionate, bold, and joyful people.
Irish Prime Minister Enda Kenny.
Yes to inclusion, yes to generosity, yes to love, yes to equal marriage.
The Republic of Ireland has become the first country in the world to legalise marriage equality by popular vote. On Friday, May 22nd, the Irish government held a referendum asking its citizens to approve adopting the country's constitution with the following text. Marriage may be contracted in accordance with law by two persons without distinction as to their sex. While political parties usually take different sides when a referendum is held in Ireland, the marriage equality referendum was unique in that not a single political party was against this issue. The yes side was supported by all parties, not least of which were the two parties currently in government, the centre-right Fianna Fáil and the centre-left Labour Party. The No campaign was spearheaded by smaller groups, such as the Christian lobby group Mothers and Fathers Matter, and the Catholic lobby group the Iona Institute. While Ireland has been seen as a socially conservative country, steeped in its Catholic tradition, religion did not play as large a role in this referendum as some international media would be inclined to presume. certain church groups, such as the Anglican Church of Ireland, announced that it would remain neutral on the matter, while asking its members to vote according to their conscience. Other groups, however, like the Islamic Society of Ireland, had more mixed messages for its members, condemning homophobia and prejudice on one side, while also campaigning for a conscience clause to be added for faith-based discrimination. After weeks of constant debate, discussion and campaigning on both sides, the day of the referendum arrived, and the Irish went out to vote, with over 60% of voters registered turning out. And with 1.2 million voters saying yes, the announcement was made in Dublin Castle on Saturday that the marriage equality referendum was passed by just over 62%.
Lina Bóthi a Bling and Tobra, Shock Gate, Trita Caharmina, August 3rd, votes against the proposal 734,300.
Some constituencies in cities such as Dublin and Cork returned yes votes in the higher range of 70 to 85%.
Very emotional. Every percentage of yes is just makes you want to cry because you're so happy. A long, happy day. Yeah, today, tomorrow, and every day from now on.
We're the first country to have done this by a popular vote, which is phenomenal in itself. We are sending a message that diversity is okay, that equality is okay, and that Ireland has just taken bounds and leaps forward to ensuring that everyone is equal in this country.
Reporting from Dublin from This Way Out, I'm Scott de Butler.
I didn't know if I'm in favour of gay marriage myself. My husband is.
I'm Stephen Fry. The great Oscar Wilde once said, "The only sin is stupidity." That is why it is imperative that we stay as informed as possible. An excellent way to do this is to listen to This Way Out, the international radio program for all our sexually diverse communities. So much cooler
online. There's nothing cooler than the world's only international LGBT radio magazine.
Unless it's thiswayout.org.
At thiswayout.org, you'll find program information,
related videos,
expanded features,
news wrap transcripts,
CDs and downloadable materials.
It might not be cooler than radio,
but there's much more This Way Out at thiswayout.org.
Living up, living up, living up proud.
The whole point of celebrating the Stonewall Rebellion with a parade was to rejoice in the LGBTQ community's newfound visibility outside in the open. This year, 50th anniversary pride events in dozens of cities around the world have been canceled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But being inside will not squelch the spirit. Pride is going virtual. Organizer Andy Sacker chats with our Brian DeShazer about what to expect when the virtual parade steps off on May 31st.
We come in every color, from every walk of life. We fly this rainbow, cause every love deserves every right. We've got to be fearless. No shame, no pain. To get the world to hear us, we need your voice, we need your claim.
Hi, Andy, and welcome to This Way Out.
Hi, Brian. It's such a pleasure to be on This Way Out.
But wanted to contact you and let our listeners of This Way Out hear about what may indeed be the very first virtual gay pride parade sponsored, hosted by the Lavender Effect.
Thank you so much. This whole idea came out of us brainstorming on our team Lavender. This COVID-19 pandemic has just put everybody into a modality that is so isolated and so confined. And here we have the 50th anniversary of Pride for both New York, Los Angeles, Chicago also had Pride a day before, actually. San Francisco had a small gathering. This is really the 50th anniversary. It is such a huge milestone, and we're all trapped in our homes. And so I just told my team, I said, I want to be in a parade. I want to have that energy of a parade, even in isolation.
And that's what the Gay Pride Parade and festivals are about. And let's remind the listeners that it was last year, which was the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall. So now we have this exciting idea of a virtual parade. And I think the entire globe is learning as we go how these things work and how do we present and express ourselves.
Exactly. No, that's really true. And so we're reaching out to both celebrities and activists and politicians, organizations that would typically participate in a pride parade. We're asking them to be as creative as possible, to come up with a way that where they can express their pride, connect the viewers with the heritage of the LGBT people. The way we're envisioning this is, if you can imagine, if someone's in a parade and there is a television station that's on the sidelines, you might go up to that or be asked by that television station to depart from the procession for a moment and give people a little bit of information about your organization, what the mission is. And we're hoping that people will take this opportunity and be as creative as possible to express their pride.
And so with every parade, everybody knows there's usually a grand marshal. Your grand marshal is Alexandra Billings. Tell us about Alexandra.
She is probably best known for her role on Transparent, the very popular television show. I think she was second transgender individual to play a transgender character on a television show. She has been one of the most genuine, generous, loving people I have ever met in my life. I call her our angel. She has blessed us with a whole spirit and sensibility for this project that I honestly didn't expect.
So usually the Grand Marshal's duties in a parade is to sit in the back of a car and wave your queenly wave. What does a Grand Marshalette do in a virtual parade? Or are we allowed to know? Is it a secret?
Oh, no, it's not a secret. She's actually the Grand Marshal and host. She's going to be that person on the street that's interviewing the individuals. We're giving her that larger role so that she can really engage with all the organizations, the pioneers, and other celebrities that know and love her.
So with this parade, the virtual parade, how people can see it is online, but there's also other ways that I went online and I see there's general viewership, a VIP viewership, a silver sponsor, gold sponsor, and platinum sponsor, which tells me this is a fundraiser for your nonprofit, The Lavender Effect.
This is a fundraiser for our organization. Because we have free tickets, we don't require any kind of financial donation from anyone. We only leave that door open for those that are lucky enough to have the means to help support us. We're doing a lot of different things other than the Pride Parade to educate people, to enlighten not just the LGBT community, but the community at large about the major contributions that LGBT people have made to society. And when I first started doing this work, the Fair Education Act was announced by Governor Brown as going into effect. And for those that don't live in California, what the Fair Education Act does is it requires public schools in the state of California to teach the contributions of LGBT people. There are other people included in that act, but for us, for our community, that is a huge milestone. So we have a collection of videos that is modeled after Steven Spielberg's Shoah Foundation. He started a nonprofit that documented Holocaust survivors. And I remember thinking back then, we need to document our community and its survival. So that's one of our big tentpole projects, the Oral History Project. People can see that online, www.thelavendereffect.org, and go to projects. You can see some of our amazing elders in the community tell their stories.
It's a beautiful mosaic of who we are and documenting again the intimacy and the individuality of who we are. And it sort of breaks all kinds of stereotypes, right?
Thank you. Thank you. It's you know, serving a greater good. If I've learned one thing doing this as a LGBTQ plus historian, is that we cannot tell this from one perspective. It has to be told from multiple perspectives. Because what's true of a white male couple in Pacific Palisades is light years different than a black lesbian in South Central. That's why I love the testimonies of individuals, because that's, as you know, that's the only way to document our stories, our history.
So tell us where people can go to schedule the viewing of the parade.
The easiest way to find out more about this particular event is to go to thelavendereffect.org/events.
On May 31st. Oh my God, we haven't said that yet.
Oh yes, May 31st at noon Pacific time.
Thanks to you, Andy Sacker, founding executive and creative director of The Lavender Effect. Love you, man.
Love you too.
The 50th anniversary of Gay Pride kicks off May 31st at noon Pacific on Zoom and Facebook Live with Grand Marshal and MC Alexandra Billings, with guests Lily Tomlin and Judith Flight. This Way Out Radio will also join in the fun. For more information on how you can participate and or view the online event, go to thelavendereffect.org/events. I'm Brian DeChaser for This Way Out.
Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Wenzel Jones and Carol Myers, produced by Brian DeShazer, from Scott DeBoutier, and from Brian DeShazer. Thanks also to Rob LaCrone and Laura Dickinson-Turner, Brad Paisley, Del Wood, Mama Karam, The Three Tenors, and Sugar Beach performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentham, David Hunt, and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Together with all of our listener donors, they make this program possible. A special shout-out this week to the staff, volunteers, and listeners of WERU in Bangor, Maine. Thanks for your support. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KEUL Goodwood, Alaska, WWUH West Hartford, Connecticut, 2CHR Cessnock, New South Wales, and a wide array of terrestrial and online stations around the world, including this one. Stay safe and stay tuned.